الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، فالئ الخلائق أجمعين، وباعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف عباد الله محمد بن عبد الله. على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. وقال تعالى: ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Many of you have heard about the tragedy that took place in the early hours of Sunday in the downtown area of Baghdad and other areas, which claimed the lives of 200 innocent people. More than 200 people died, many of them burned beyond recognition. Many of them are children and elderly and women, civilians who were preparing to celebrate Eid al-Fitr. And hundreds of innocent people were heavily wounded and injured in these blasts. That was the responsibility of it was claimed immediately by ISIS. ISIS, who are claiming that they are establishing an Islamic state, an Islamic community, through murder, through killing civilians in the streets, innocent people. This is the type of an Islamic state presented by the Takfiris, by the Salafis. This is the result of the hard working of Saudi Arabia. For over 30 years, Saudi Arabia is financing, encouraging, spreading, promoting Salafism and Wahhabism. And this is the result. You see the result? Many naive and idiots who were brainwashed by the Wahhabi ideology today are killing themselves and killing hundreds of innocents with them in Iraq, in Syria, Bangladesh just 2 days ago, Turkey, Yemen, Egypt, Tunisia, Nigeria, in Europe, in America, on a daily basis. And these atrocities, they're going to continue as long as Al Saud are in power and they have money with them. Some other Gulf countries like Qatar or Qatar and others, these atrocities are going to continue. They say, the method, the proverb says that if you want to kill the snake, you have to hit the head. If you don't kill the head, the snake is going to continue to move. This is the type of Islam that Saudi Arabia and the Wahhabis, they want to export to the Muslim countries and non-Muslim countries. Someone was coming from Europe the other day, and he was saying that European people like the British, the French, the German, they have zero tolerance for the Muslims nowadays. They hate Muslims. Same thing in America. Same thing in Canada. Same thing elsewhere. Why? Did they read the Quran? They didn't read this book. They didn't even read any book about Islam. All what they know about Islam is these barbaric acts of murder and bombings that are taking the lives of very innocent people. People who go about their life to support their families, to protect their families, are being murdered by the Wahhabi wicked and evil ideology. This is a twisted ideology of Islam. And still they are recruiting the young ones from Europe. They captured a lady in London yesterday. Check it out on CNN. She's British, a convert, who's deceiving British women and telling them travel to Syria to marry with the jihadis. If you want success, then go and marry them so you receive the salvation. Look at this mentality. The mentality of the ages of darkness and backwardness. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا وتظاهر الزمان علينا. We raise our grievances to Allah that the enemies and those who are supporting them, the countries, the governments who are training them and facilitating their evil work and providing them with weapon, sometimes brand new weapons in Syria and Iraq. They have tanks, brand new tanks, not taken from the Syrian army or Iraqi army. Brand new artilleries. Where do they bring them from? Can they make them themselves? Someone who belongs to ISIS, who doesn't have a brain, brainless, can he manufacture a tank? No, definitely there are some powers who are supplying them with these weapons and, you know, with these tactics and helping them to kill and to destroy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. إنا لله. I was texting my brothers in Iraq. They said this year Iraq has no Eid. They are not celebrating the Eid. At the very first day of Ramadan, very first day, I lost a cousin of mine in Karbala, 27 years old, married with two young children. Another bombing by ISIS in Karbala. The first day of Ramadan. Every family is suffering now. Every mother has someone that she lost to ISIS, to the barbaric atrocities and crimes committed by ISIS, by the Salafis, by those who believe in nothing but death. Death. Those thugs. This is a cult of death. This cult has no mercy. Even with one of them who wants to change his mind and defect, they chase him. They kill him. And there is no bala, there is no trials and tribulations that strikes on any nation worse than ISIS. Worse than some thugs who claim to be Muslims following the Prophet or the Quran. And their banner carries the name of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but they are killing this word, the word of Shahadatain. It is being destroyed every minute by ISIS. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow His acceptance and His mercy and His blessing on the souls that have departed in Baghdad and in other places, in Lebanon the other day, in Turkey, in Yemen, in Bangladesh, in Syria, every single day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit those innocent people into His mercy, His paradise, inshallah. And to take revenge, inshallah, immediate revenge. We can see the victory of the soldiers of Al-Imam Al-Hujjah alayhi salatu wassalam. Triumphing, inshallah, over falsehood. We have to intensify our du'as, our prayers during these 2-3 nights of Ramadan, the remaining nights, that Allah bring victory to Islam, inshallah, and that to the true Muslims, to the good Muslims, the positive Muslims, who seek unity, who seek peace, and to destroy their enemies, inshallah. And a free Islam, before we think of a freeing Palestine, we have to free Islam first. And Muslim countries, from Salafis, from Takfiris, from Wahhabis. These are the source of bala. The source of bala and calamities today are Wahhabism, before anything else. And they put their hand in the hand of the Zionists. Today there is an alliance between Wahhabis and the Zionists to destroy humanity, not just Islam. So we have to wake up and we have to be united. We have to stand together. We have to put our differences. The Muslims have to put their differences aside and work together to save Islam and save the humanity, inshallah. We also give condolences to our dear brother Baqiri for the departure of his mother, rahmatullahi alayha. And we ask Allah to bestow His mercy on her, inshallah. Before I begin, I ask you to recite for the soul of the Shuhada to recite Surah Al-Fatiha ma'a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Du'a Rasulillah fi al-yawm al-thamin wal-ashreen. This is the prayers of the Prophet on the 28th of the month of Ramadan. Allahumma waffir haddi fihi min al-nawafil wa akrimni fihi bi ihdar al-masail wa qarrib fihi wasilati ilayka min bayn al-wasail ya man la yashghaluhu ilhahul mulhin. The Prophet says, O Allah, increase my share of the nawafil in this month and during this day. What are the nafila? Nawafil is the plural of nafila. Nafila is the singular. And nafila in Arabic means the increase, the extra, al-ziyada. Al-ziyadatu wal-idafa. The extra thing is called nafila. This is why salatul layl is referred to as nafila. And other prayers that you, other than the five daily prayers that you present, are called nafila, because these are extra prayers. Allah says about Salatul Layl, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ. Tahajjud is when you pray past midnight. That is the time of tahajjud. Private time, when you spend a private time with your Lord. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ نَافِلَةً. And extra prayers for you. عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. So your Lord might bestow on you a sublime position. مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. And nawafil could be other than the prayers, not just the prayers. If you do extra fasting, let's say in Rajab, in Sha'ban, on other seasons, other days, if you practice, if you fast, recommended fasting, it is also called nafila. When you pay charity, more than the zakat, more than the due, if you pay some an extra amount, it is also nafila. So any acts that are recommended, not obligatory, but they are recommended, and you practice them, are called nafila. But most of the time nowadays, when you say nafila, it is a reference to the prayers, the extra prayers. And we know the salat has two sides and two dimensions. One dimension is the social. And this is why the mandatory prayers, the five daily prayers, are encouraged to be performed in the masjid. Or if not in the masjid, in jama'ah, in congregation. Why? Because the prayers is not only a relationship between you and your Lord. It is also a relationship between you and people around you. So when you go to the masjid, when you do it in congregation, in jama'ah, it gives another meaning. It gives the meaning of unity and harmony and togetherness. When you come to the masjid, you don't just stand and pray. You check on your friends, your neighbors. If they need something, if you can be of help, it's about cooperation among the members of the community, not just the prayers. You foster relationships, you establish friendships, you get to know people. You get to know your own people from your own culture, your own language, and also others. And this is something good, this is something healthy. This is encouraged by Islam. To get to know each other, to get to visit each other, to be together, to help each other. This is why Salatul Jama'ah has been encouraged to be performed in the masjid. لا صلاة لجار المسجد إلا في المسجد. There is no full reward for someone who's next door to the mosque unless he does his prayers in the mosque. Meaning his prayers would not be complete. Not would not be accepted, it would be accepted. But rather than getting 100% points, he would get 70% or 60%. So go to the masjid if you are the neighbor, jar. If you are really, especially if it is walking distance, or let's say 5 minutes distance, this is jar, this is in your neighborhood. Nowadays, people do not live next to the masjid. They have to travel 20 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes. But this is for those who live around the masjid. They are highly encouraged to perform their prayers in the masjid. However, the nawafil, the Prophet says, do the nawafil at home, not in the masjid. Why? Because as I mentioned, the salat serves two purposes. One, a relationship with God. And second, relationship with others. So Allah says for salat, that the mandatory prayers, do it in the masjid so you can establish relation with others. But nawafil, do it at home, just between you and me. Just between you and me. And this is exactly what the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith has been mentioned in Kutub al-Sahah wa-Sunan. In the Sunni tradition, they have Sahah, Sahih and Sunan. Both these books, both categories, and all the books of hadith in the Sunni tradition, they narrate this hadith. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qal, inna khayra salatil mar' fi baytihi illa salatul maktuba. The best prayers of you, the one that you do at home, except the congregational. Maktuba means the mandatory, maktuba. It is prescribed for you, mandatory. The mandatory 5 daily prayers, do them in the masjid. But the recommended, the nawafil, do them at home. وَإِنَّ لِلْمَرْءِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ لِلْبَيْتِ نَصِيبًا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. Make your house, give your house, your property, a share of your prayers. Do not do all your prayers in the mosque. Keep some to your house. Because he himself says, in another hadith, مثل البيت الذي يذكر فيه الله تعالى والبيت الذي لا يذكر فيه الله كمثل الحي والميت. The parable of the house where Allah is mentioned in that house, and mentioning in the house, the mentioning of Allah is the prayers and the Quran. Dhikrullah. Allah says about the prayers, the purpose of the salat, wa aqim as-salata lidhikri, dhikrullah. And the prayers, what do you do in the prayers? You don't read a story. You read Quran. In the ruku' and sujood, you glorify Allah. Subhana rabbi al-azim wa bihamdih. Subhana rabbi al-ala wa bihamdih. Even the tashahud, even the salam, the qiyam, the qunut, dhikrullah. This is God's remembrance. So the difference between the house where people pray in it and the house where there are no prayers in it, it's the difference between the living person and the dead person. So the house where the name of Allah is mentioned and people of that house, the inhabitants of that house pray, that house is live. Where the house where God is not mentioned and nobody does the prayers in that house is dead and dark and has no blessings. And has no hope. And it is a very unfortunate house. Very unfortunate. This house is not going to be successful. A house where people do not care about prayers, they abandon their prayers, is not going to be a successful house. They are not going to be happy people. Whatever money they spend on that house or in that house, they are not going to attain felicity and happiness. So the Prophet says, keep part of your salat inside the house. So you keep it moving and going and live and lively and fresh. Ibn Majah, one of the narrators of the hadith by the name of Ibn Majah al-Qazwini, he says, an Abdullah ibn al-As'ad, one of the companions of the Prophet, سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, he asked the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulallah, أَيُّمَا أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةُ فِي الْبَيْتِ أَمِ الْمَسْجِدِ, which is more rewarding, the prayers that I does in my house or in the mosque? The Prophet said to him, أَلَا تَرَى بَيْتِي مَا أَقْرَبَهُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, don't you look at my house, how close is it to the mosque? There is nothing between the house of the Prophet and the masjid is only a gate, a door. Only a gate. Very close. But he says, فَلَئِنْ أُصَلِّي فِي بَيْتِي أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أُصَلِّيَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ صَلَاةً مَكْتُوبًا. I'd rather perform my prayers inside my house than the mosque, except the mandatory prayers. The 5 daily prayers. I do them in the masjid. You have to go to the masjid. Other than that, the mustahab prayers, the nawafil, the extra prayers has to be done at home. And then, this is why the Prophet during the month of Ramadan, he did the nawafil of Ramadan, the nights of Ramadan, not in the masjid. He did them at home. And people asked him to get out of his house and come and does his prayers in the masjid. He said, no, the nawafil has to be done at home. But then after the Prophet's time, and after the time of the first caliph, the second caliph came. He came to the masjid. People were praying. Some of them doing qiyam, some of them sujood, some of them ruku'. He said, I'd like to see harmony here. People do the salat together. So he established Salat al-Taraweeh. And imagine, during the time of Imam Ali in Kufa, again, some of those people who used to do Salat al-Taraweeh for so many years, for almost 23 years, until Imam Ali became the caliph. Imam Ali said, this is bid'ah. Do your nawafil at home. It is more rewarding when you stand privately in your room between you and your Lord. Yes, Jama'ah come to the masjid, but Nafila go inside your house. They refused. Imagine Imam Ali is the caliph and some people, they refuse his advice and his commands. And they kept doing the prayers in the masjid. So Imam Ali said, "Da'uhum wa sha'nahum." Leave them alone if they want. But he recited this verse. This is very meaningful. Look at what Imam Ali said. When he said, "Leave them, da'uhum wa ma yuridun," leave them alone. If they insist, if they don't listen to me, they want to do nawafil in taraweeh in jama'ah. Okay, it's okay. Leave them. But he said this in Surah An-Nisa. He recited this ayah. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah says in the Quran, if some people insist on defying, يُشَاقِق, defying and disobeying the Prophet, let it be. But then they're going to lose their work, and on the day of judgment, their destination is hellfire. Let them. They don't want to listen. It's up to them. Sometimes a person listens to God, and sometimes he or she would listen to his own desire, not to God. He says, my desire is more beneficial to me than my God, my Lord. The Prophet ﷺ says, قَلِيلٌ مِّن فِي سُنَّةٍ خَيْرٌ مِّن كَثِيرٍ فِي بِدْعَةٍ. قَلِيلٌ مِّن سُنَّةٍ. If you do a little bit of work, but it is sunnah, you are following the Prophet, not diverting from him, it's much better than doing a lot of things, but it is bid'ah. It has no basis in Islam. Now some people ask, Sayyid, what's wrong with doing Taraweeh in Jama'ah? It's prayers. They are reciting Quran. They are not reciting Umm Kulthum, you know. They are reciting Quran. So why? There is an important point here, my friends. Listen to me carefully. All ulama, all scholars, they say, al-ibadatu tawqifiyyah. The acts of prayers and the acts of service that we do, they are not founded by us, neither by the Prophet. They are founded and established and introduced by whom? By Allah. Tawqif. Tawqif means you have to follow step by step without diverting. You cannot invent. You cannot say today, Salat al-Subh, I had a lot of energy, I had energy drink, you know. I had a lot of energy, so rather than 2 rak'ah, I did 20 because I love to do prayers. Allah says it's not accepted. 20 rak'ah is not accepted. I'm telling you 2. I don't care whether you have energy or you don't have energy. Whether you drink Pepsi or energy drink, I want you to do 2 rak'ah. You can't say 3 rak'ah or 4 or 5. Or someone who goes for tawaf, he says rather than 7, 7 is not enough for me. I'm still thirsty. I will do 14 for instance. This tawaf is voided. Tawqif. Allah says, religion is what? Religion is a discipline. Discipline. Listen to me. You are worshipping me. You are worshipping me. When you worship me, then listen to me. I'm going to tell you what is the right number. You cannot invent. You cannot say, I pick and choose. This is good for me in religion. I will do it. That one is unbearable or not unbearable, I detest it, so I don't like it. You can't. Religion has discipline. Yes, sometimes, as I mentioned last night, sometimes you can't take it. Siyam is so hard, difficult for children, for elderly, for sick, for those people, then you may skip it, yes. You have an excuse, legitimate excuse. Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ. If you are sick, you can't take it, there is an excuse there. There is exception there. But to say, let's say Ramadan this year is 31 days, I want to fast the day of Eid because I'm so in love with fasting. So even the day of Eid al-Fitr, I want to fast. No, you can't fast. Haram. It's haram. One day before is mandatory wajib. The day 30 of Ramadan, the one day after the day of Eid is haram, forbidden. Why? Because God says so. God says so. You can't argue with it. Discipline. Religion is discipline. Religion is submission, my friends. Religion is to say to God, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Every single minute. Yes, sir. I don't argue with you. Yes, sir. This is religion. Either you accept it or you leave it. Good luck. Leave it. So we cannot play with religion. Religion does not follow our own desires. Religion follows the wisdom of God. And God is equal for people. God never discriminates. God has wisdom, expediency, and He knows what is the best for us. And this is what He prescribes. He knows. So put your trust in Him, in His knowledge, in His wisdom, in His fairness, in His maturity, and don't say no to Him. Same thing happened during the time of the Prophet. You know, the Prophet left Medina going to the Battle of Badr on the 8th day of Ramadan. 8th day of Ramadan, Muslims are going to the Battle of Badr. When the Prophet reached an area, Haddut Tarakhus, 22 kilometers outside Medina, he broke his fast. He started eating. It was Ramadan because he's traveling. And he said to the Muslims, now you can break your fast because you left Medina. You are not at home. You are traveling. Some of them followed him because they believe in him. Because they know the Quran says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Obey God and obey the Prophet. And others, they were more Catholic than the Pope. They said to the Prophet, no, we are not going to break our fast. How can we break our fast? This is Ramadan. The Prophet says, Allah says in the Quran, the same God who said in the book, fast in Ramadan, He says, if you travel, do not fast. Don't fast. And they refused. Can you imagine? They are with the Prophet, going with him to fight Quraysh. They could not fight their ego. They could not fight their ego. They did not follow him. The Prophet called them. He said, you are the disobedient. Antum al-usat. You are the disobedient. Disobedient. The spirit of religion is submission. Spirit of religion. The essence of religion is to submit. To obey and submit. So this is why nawafil are done in Ramadan, but at your privacy. You know why? Because Al-Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam says, he says, Allah wants you to do nawafil at home so there is no showing off, ostentation. There is no riyah. You do it with a spirit of earnestness and dedication and sincerity, ikhlas. He wants you to do that in your private, in your room. Shut the door and do the prayers. The hadith says, "Man shahara nafsahu bil ibadah, fattahimuhu ala dinih." If you see someone who's showing off, doing things, ibadah, acts of worship, just to show off, then there is a defect in his faith. His faith is not pure. فَاتَّهِمُوا You may accuse him in his deen. That your deen is not for God. Show people. So don't waste your time. So we have two types of prayers. The mandatory, Allah says, come to the mosque. Because I want you to build a relationship with me and with people. I want you to see people. I want you to greet them after salat and before salat. But when it comes to nawafil, the extra prayers, do them in your room. This is not for people to see. This is just for me to see. And this is what God says to the Prophet. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. Although he said to him before, do the 5 daily prayers. أَقِمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. But he said to him, then the night prayers, the midnight prayers, tahajjud has to be private. لِأَنَّهَا أَقْرَبُ إِلَى الْإِخْلَاصِ. It's closer to piety and sincerity. You are not doing it for your mother, for your father, for your friend, for your neighbor. You are doing it for God. Private conversation. Allah loves you to speak to Him private. Private. أدعو ربكم تضرعا وخفيا. Call upon your Lord تضرعا. تضرعا, it means in a state of humility, not arrogance. This is number one. Don't be arrogant when you speak to God. وخفيا, in a private. In a private. It's a closer to acceptance. It is a closer to submission to God. اللهم وفر حظي فيه من النوافل. Oh Lord, allow me to be able to enjoy the nawafil. And the hadith says, why nawafil? We did 5 daily prayers. We did 5 daily prayers. Why do we have to do extra? Because they say nawafil completes and integrates the fara'id. So if there is something wrong with your fariḍa, with the mandatory one, when you do the nafila, it's going to integrate that. It's going to complete this deficiency that took place. And then the hadith says, إِذَا أَضَرَّتِ النَّوَافِلُ بِالْفَرَائِضِ فَارْفُضُوهَا. This is very interesting. Some people, they care about nawafil, but when it comes to fara'id, they don't care about them. I'll give you an example. Someone who does salatul layl, he does salatul layl, but when it comes to salatul fajr, he misses salatul fajr. The one that is recommended, he does not miss, but the one which is wajib and mandatory, he misses. Or not necessarily missing. Someone who does Salatul Layl with full attention, but when it comes to Salatul Fajr, he drained himself, he has no enough energy. So he does the Salat very express, very fast, without reflection. It would hurt his prayers. So don't do that. Don't do the Nawafil at the expense of what? Fara'id. Ahsant, you are following me. Don't do that. Don't do that. Or, for instance, someone does fasting during Rajab and Sha'ban, but when he comes to Ramadan, he gets sick. He can't fast. So he hurts his mandatory fasting. Don't do that. Don't. Or, I know some people who, in Ramadan, they do Taraweeh, but after that they are so tired, they miss Salatul Fajr, alhamdulillah. MashaAllah Rabbil Alameen. See, this is another problem here. So, إِذَا أَضَرَّتِ النَّوَافِلِ, when the nawafil hurts the fara'id, the mandatory, then فَرْفُضُوهَا, reject them. And one last thing before I conclude, the hadith says, وَأَكْرِمْنِي فِيهِ, O my Lord, honor me during the month of Ramadan, بإحضار المسائل. What is إحضار المسائل? إحضار means to remember and to learn. What مسائل? The مسائل of حلال and حرام. The Islamic مسائل. We have 2 types of knowledge in Islam. One is the ideology of Islam. توحيد. What is توحيد? If someone asks you, can you introduce me to توحيد? Tell me, what do you know about توحيد? Believe me, 99.9% of the Muslims today, when you ask them about Tawheed, they have one short answer. They say, Allahu Wahid, period. Allahu Wahid, God is one. But this is not Tawheed. Tawheed, you have to, if you read it, if you want to write or say about it, it would be a book like this. Tawheed has many branches, many details. We have to know them. It's a pity that we know everything, that when it comes to the fundamental of Islam, we know nothing about it. Why we cannot have a trinity in Islam? If someone asks you, what's wrong with the trinity? Can you have an answer? Who can have a good answer, reasonable, intellectual, academic answer? We have to learn these things. We have tawheed al-dhat, we have tawheed al-sifat, tawheed al-af'al, tawheed al-adal, توحيد العبادة، توحيد الملكية. Many branches with the توحيد, and each one requires one whole day to explain. So the Prophet says, enable me to learn these. This is one. The second knowledge in Islam is the fiqh, jurisprudence, Islamic law, halal and haram. Many of these acts that we do, they are divided into two, into halal and haram. So we have to know what is halal and what is haram. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, لَوَدَدْتُ, I wish I can. لَوَدَدْتُ لَوْ ضَرَبْتُ رُؤُوسَ أَصْحَابِي بِالسِّيَاطِ حَتَّى يَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Sometimes I'd like to force them, to force my friends, my disciples, to force them, coerce them into learning the true Islam, the knowledge of Islam. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah says, we raise in ranks those who have faith and those who have knowledge. He didn't say those who have money. He said those who have faith and those who have knowledge. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. You, my friends here, you have to dedicate. It's worth it. It's worth it because Hajj Ra'ad was waiting so many years praying for Allah to give him children, and God gave him 3 kids at once, mashallah, in one hit. What a beautiful hit, man. Teach us some of these techniques, please. So, اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات. إن شاء الله, most likely the Eid is going to be on Wednesday. Doors here are opened at, they open at 7 a.m. and دعاء الندبة 7:15, تكبيرات 7:45, and صلاة إن شاء الله, صلاة عيد الفطر at 8 a.m. And Zakatul Fitrah or Zakatul Fitr is $15 per person. I ask you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha for the martyrs of Baghdad and for the Honorable Mother of Aghay Bakri. Al-Fatiha ma'as-salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.